all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. We want to thank our national sponsors, NVBDC.org. That's the National Veteran Business Development Council, the leading veteran-owned business certification organization developed by veterans for veterans. Find them at NVBDC.org or call 888-CERTIFIED. And also Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm nationwide. You can call them at 800-693-4800 or find them on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. Welcome, I am Jim Fossone with Veterans Radio. This is our spotlight on National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC. Veterans Radio America, a nonprofit, has a partnership with NVBDC, which is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses of all sizes. This 501c3 nonprofit was established in 2013, and it addresses the growing need to identify and certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses in the government and commercial or corporate marketplace. And we're pleased to have with us today Abby Malchow, who is a Navy veteran and is on the Amazon Global Military Affairs team. Abby, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Jim, for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on. Amazon is a corporate partner of NVBDC.org, and we want to talk about some of the things that Amazon is doing in the military and veteran space. Why don't you tell us what the Global Military Affairs team is working on?
Yes, good question. So our team is relatively new to Amazon, about 2 years old, and we focus on three core areas for the military community. The first is obviously hiring veterans and military spouses. The second is retaining them in their employment in Amazon and providing leadership opportunities for them and mentorship opportunities for them once they come to Amazon. And then third, it's kind of our catch-all. It's really our work in the community, both internal and external to Amazon. And it's within Project Honor, which is everything that falls under community engagement for our team, that I created the Military Entrepreneurship Program, which is how I started to work with NVBDC and became a corporate partner of them. And I can always explain to you later what Military Entrepreneurship Program is. And then also within community engagement, we focus on helping the wounded, ill, and injured, as well as helping to prevent suicide within the veteran community.
Well, one of the amazing things is that NVBDC has reached out to some of the biggest and best companies in America to help support veterans as they get into the business world, and folks like Amazon step up to be corporate partner. But they really do more. There are about 40,000 veterans working at Amazon, which is about 4% or more of the workforce, if I've got it right. The veterans have become a big part of Amazon, hasn't it?
Yes, that's. I think it was, I forget the year, but I think it was the Joining Forces Pledge where Jeff Bezos, I think it was, don't quote me on the year, where he vowed to hire over 25,000 military veterans and spouses. And obviously we have surpassed that goal. And what we've seen at Amazon is that veterans, the military community in general, they are such a good fit for the culture at Amazon because of the leadership principles that you learn in the military very much translate into the work that we do at Amazon. and they typically excel once they come to the company. So, you know, we're obviously always looking to hire more and more veterans because they just have that work ethic and that discipline that is required to succeed.
Well, one of the things I guess I wanted your viewpoint on is, as you were going about your setting up of the military affairs team and under Project Honor, why did you think it was important to become involved with an organization like NVBDC and focus on certified veteran-owned businesses?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So when I created the Military Entrepreneurship Program, and we all love acronyms in the military, so I just call it MEP for short, we wanted to really use that as a way to help entrepreneurs and also to help underemployment and unemployment within the military community. So we see entrepreneurship, small business ownership, as really a form of employment because you obviously are creating your own business, you have to sustain that business, and we want to help provide them the tools and the resources that to scale through Amazon, right? So when I created the program, I really wanted to focus on bringing more certified veteran-owned small businesses and service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses to sell on Amazon Business. And then I also partner within Amazon Consumer and help veterans and military spouses launch as sellers there so they can sell directly to consumers and ultimately scale their business. So that was the intention behind the program. And obviously with NVBDC, they have such a large membership and they're very well known in the military community. And they are one of the nonprofits that certify. And, you know, they're an organization that Amazon has always believed in.
Well, it is important. And we've spoken before in the spotlight on why you want certified veteran-owned businesses to get away from some of the shenanigans that was going on in the early years, and it's really important to know that you have a legitimate veteran-owned business here. And this is both you mentioned it both on the business side and the commercial side. Can you explain those two sides a little bit again?
Yeah, that's so Amazon Business, which is very helpful to clarify to the audience. Amazon Business is where certified businesses sell to other businesses. So, you know, obviously you have to have that certification in order to be recognized as a veteran-owned small business or a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. And it's really like shopping on Amazon, but it's businesses shopping on Amazon from other small businesses and other large businesses as well. And consumers where you basically sell directly to the consumer. So for example, we launched a veteran-owned small business as a seller, a third-party seller the other day. And he makes a toothpaste and he's very much an entrepreneur. He just created this toothpaste and we launched him as a seller there and he's going to be selling directly to people like me, right? So those are the two primary differences. And once you sell on Amazon Business, you automatically, usually all of your products are also available on Amazon Consumer as well. So, you know, if it's relevant to the consumer audience, you'll still be able to sell through both channels.
Well, I think sometimes we've heard the phrase B2B, and that's the Amazon business-to-business selling platform, I take it.
Yes, it's B2B, and then consumer is, we call it consumer, but it used to be known as Amazon Marketplace, is B2C.
Well, I wanted you to talk a little bit about also what Amazon Project Honor is about and how it has some focus in mental health and suicide prevention, because I know in your background, your work background and advocacy background, this is something of particular importance.
Yes. Project Honor was formed earlier this year. And, you know, the work that Amazon has done, our team has done really, in veteran suicide prevention really came to us organically. So, you know, I have a, you know, very personal connection to suicide. I found my squad leader dead from suicide just after we got back from Iraq. And then a month later, I lost my best friend to suicide. And I tried to intervene to save his life, but failed. And he ended up killing himself just a month later. So for me, it's very personal. And, you know, it was why I worked, help advocate for the Clay Hunt Suicide Prevention for America's Veterans Act back in 2014. That legislation was then passed into law in 2015. And from there, I was a scholar with the George Bush Institute through his Stand Two Veteran Leadership Program. And when I was a scholar with his, in his program, I really focused on how can we find technological solutions? How can we leverage artificial intelligence to identify veterans at risk for suicide on social media platforms and then intervene? Because what I saw through my own experiences were the first warning signs of suicide are usually on social media. And some, you know, when they find people at risk on social media, they don't necessarily identify them as a veteran. And we all know that veterans, they have unique conditions such as traumatic brain injury, PTSD, military sexual trauma, and they really need to be connected to someone who can help provide that specialized care. So that's how I got into my role at Amazon. And we did a very similar project that finished earlier this year with Rallypoint. And for those who don't know, Rallypoint is a social networking site for veterans and active duty military and their families. So it's very similar to Facebook, but specifically to the military community. And Rallypoint had a project in partnership with the VA and Harvard, where they were going to also use artificial intelligence to identify users on Rallypoint at risk for suicide. So they approached me, and we saw obviously tremendous value in helping them achieve that. And so we worked with the AWS machine learning team to develop an algorithm through machine learning. And the project on our end is complete. It's obviously going to continue to be developed on Rallypoint's end. And we have yet to see the impact of what the project will have. But, you know, that was really how we started getting involved in suicide prevention. And from there, it has just continued to grow. And we obviously see a lot of need within the military community, especially during COVID, where, you know, so many people could be at a higher risk. And we really want to leverage Amazon technology in order to help these nonprofits who are working to help save veterans from suicide.
Well, I think that's a great explanation, and really one of the powerful things about American corporations like Amazon is their desire to help others. There's no immediate return on investment here, but this is important work that Amazon and you are doing, A.B. Malchow, and we appreciate you being in the spotlight here for NVBDC. I'd like to turn, though, to... how did a nice person like you end up in the Navy for 19 years?
Yeah, I guess I'm a glutton for punishment, aren't I? the two fun facts, I joined the Navy right before 9/11, and I picked the Navy. My whole family was Army. I picked the Navy because I was like, oh, if I ever go to war, I'll be on a ship. Well, that backfired because I've never been on a ship, and you know, I've only been to war, right? So I spent most of my Navy career supporting expeditionary, which for those who don't know, expeditionary is, you know, Seabees, Coastal Riverine Group, Special Warfare. I was in Special Warfare. I'm not that cool. But I spent most of my career on the ground, not at sea. So that's how I ended up in Iraq. You know, and then I separated to finish my education because we all know it's impossible to really finish your college education when you're constantly getting deployed and it's just very difficult. So I then transferred into the reserves, and from there I'm now at 19 years, and you know, I don't regret, you know, the decision at all. So.
Well, you not only finished your education, you picked up a master's in business administration from the University of Maryland after picking up your bachelor's degree, cum laude, which means honors, at the University of San Diego. So many folks find along the way that the military and the GI Bills helped them get that education that's kind of helped them transition. But your time in Iraq, was, as many folks over there have seen, was peppered with RPG attacks and suicide bombers and daily fire in Ramadi. All of that had an impact on you and ultimately an impact on your transition into civilian life, didn't it?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up too, because in 2006, when I went to Iraq, no one even really talked about PTSD. It wasn't even a term then. I survived multiple traumas during my military service, some directly related to Iraq deployment, most were not. So I really ignored my symptoms for years, and it wasn't until my third car accident in 2018 that I was forced to get help for PTSD, and that's when I was diagnosed. So my transition was brutal. I know a lot of us, when we come back, we have recurring nightmares. I have terrible insomnia. When I went to college, when I transitioned out and I went to college, and University of San Diego is a private college, I just did not fit in there. And I didn't feel like I could relate to anyone. And it took a lot of professors who saw that in me, who saw that I was really struggling, to have those heartfelt conversations with me and say, hey, it's okay to be different. It's okay. We get it. And, it really, my transition has never stopped. I think to veterans, we often think transition, it's one and done. I'm going to find a job. I'm going to finish college. That will be my transition. I think we never stop transitioning. And that's something that we really need to have these open, candid conversations on. It's almost impossible to find a dream job the minute you get out of the military. And, you're never going to stop evolving what you're looking for in your career and finding your purpose. So it's okay to be forgiving to yourself and to understand that, hey, it might take me some time. My transition, if you want to call it that, because I still don't think it's ever finished. By the time I got to Amazon, that was, let's see, we're talking 8 years after I got out of active duty. So it took me 8 years to finish college and to find myself at a company like Amazon, where I felt like I finally fit in, So I think we need to be more forgiving to ourselves when we talk about transition.
Well, I think that's great advice. And I'm sure, as a chief petty officer, you've probably passed that along to your guys over time. It's hard to be forgiving, because we're all designed, particularly in the military, to be hard chargers and just suck it up. And as you avoided the effects of PTSD until you couldn't, can you talk a little bit about how you got some help, some counseling, some therapy, where you went, and maybe give some guidance to others who, hey, this might be something for them to try?
Yeah, there's a lot of data that says that I think over 47% of post 9/11 veterans at risk for depression and PTSD. They never seek help for their symptoms, and we all know the culture in the military is to tough it out. And you often think that people will see you as being weak if you go get help. And I believed that for many years, especially as a woman. I didn't want anyone to think that as a woman getting help for my mental health, that I was weaker than my peers. So for that, I avoided it. I had terrible anxiety and every time I got into a car. And, I was rear-ended. My third car, I've been rear-ended a lot. It's a miracle I'm alive. My third car accident, I was rear-ended at over 70 miles an hour. It's a miracle that I even live. And every time I got into the car to commute to work, because my work was about a good half hour from where I lived, I just had incredible panic. And my chest would tighten up. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't sleep at night. I kept seeing the image of that, of the truck hitting me. And my provider, my healthcare provider, I begged him, I'm like, please give me some pills so I can sleep. And he said, no, I think you really need to get help. I think it's more than just insomnia. And he referred me to a psychologist, and I was very skeptical. Really very skeptical. But then when I found out that she had worked for over 10 years in the VA, and she was very used to help to treating veterans, that made me a lot more comfortable to opening up to her. And, you know, I have remained in and out of care ever since. So I think it's important to say there are strengths in seeking help. And you never know when you're going to be at risk. You never know when something could trigger you and you could have that flashback and be extremely vulnerable. And no one is excluded from being at risk for suicide. No one, right? So it's important to really see the strength in getting help.
Well, and you saw the other side of it. You told us earlier about suicide from your squad leader. I mean, the other side of that is if you don't get some help and do some things, you may spiral down and out. And one of the things I noticed in a write-up that I have, AB, is that you kind of used physical activity to help cope at some level. Can you talk about that?
Yes. You know, I think in the military, we very much rely on being physically active as a way to decrease the stress in our lives. And, you know, for me, I've always been a very active person, but I had a lot of running injuries. During chief season, I had a torn hamstring. No, it was a torn calf. I tore my calf twice. And then I've also suffered from torn hamstrings. So I realized that I just couldn't run like I used to anymore. So I picked up cycling, both road cycling and mountain biking. And I took a birthday trip one year. I spoiled myself and I took a 2-week trip where I did some mountain biking the whole 2 weeks and through France and Italy. And I was hooked after that. And you know, with my work with the Bush Institute, he has the Warrior Care. I'm going to screw that up. Let me just say he has Team 43. That's the what everyone knows it to be is Team 43. And Team 43 is a program that President Bush created for post 9/11 wounded warriors. And he has two sports. One is golf. The other is mountain biking. So I was selected to do the mountain biking, and I got to cycle on President Bush's ranch, which was a once in a lifetime opportunity. And you know, when we were there cycling, he's very much an easy person to talk to. I shared my story that I just shared with you about finally seeking help. And it was wonderful because we had an opportunity as wounded warriors to connect with each other and to find that supportive network. And that is so valuable. I think veterans really struggle once they get out of the military because they no longer have that network that they had, that community, that camaraderie. And it's important once you get out to find it again and to always stay connected to it in some capacity. And whether it's through physical activity like Team RWB, or you could do it as a mentor. You know, there's Travis Mannion Foundation, Team Rubicon. There's so many ways that you can really find that community. And that's what was so rewarding about that program.
Well, you mentioned networking, and this has been one of my peeves or soapboxes, is that in the military, we've got our network, but it's not the business network. And you get out and you have to build that business network. You had it in the military, but now it's a different type of network you have to build, and you need to take every opportunity that exists to build that network. And that's really what you're kind of doing at Amazon with the Project Honor and Military Entrepreneurship Programs, is helping build that network for veterans in the business community, aren't you?
Yes, and it's it's good that you bring that up, because I see a lot of veterans struggling with that as well, because a lot of folks know that you really get hired through your network. You really find new opportunities through your network, not so much in submitting an application. And I think our team has done a really good job at bringing recruiters across Amazon together who specifically are looking to hire military veterans and spouses, and creating that network, that virtual network because of COVID, for the military population, and giving them the opportunity to meet with different recruiters across the company and see, well, maybe I fit in here, maybe I don't fit in, and being able to ask those questions directly to them. That is so important. And I can't stress enough, when I do a lot of mentoring through American Corporate Partners as well, when I talk to veterans transitioning, I can't stress that enough. Find a mentor, you know, continue to grow your network, connect with fellow service members, connect with fellow alum. There's a lot of ways you can reach out to people and have those conversations. And within the military community, we're never going to not help another vet. That's just not our ethos, right? We are so committed to each other, and we have unique experiences, unique shared experiences, and we're always going to be able to lend a helping hand. At least I like to think so.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. Having been on Veterans Radio for years, veterans who I speak to often say, well, just have them call me. You know, they give out their cell phone number, or here's my email address. And we're talking to Abby Malchow, who is with Amazon Global Military Affairs Team, which is a corporate partner of our one of our sponsors, NVBDC, a third-party certifying company. And Abby is a chief petty officer in the U.S. Navy. He's got 19 years in. Abby, we really appreciate you taking some time today to talk to Veterans Radio. And if somebody wants to know more about Amazon, and maybe if they fit in for a job, or maybe they want to sell B2B or B2C to the consumers, can you point them to a couple of maybe website addresses that they should check out and get more information?
Yeah, I always refer everyone to Amazon.com/military. It's pretty easy to also Google the work that our team is doing, but Amazon.com/military will help get you to the right place you need to be. And if you're interested in selling on Amazon or starting a business with Amazon, you can always go to Amazon.com/build-your-business. And, you know, I always encourage folks too that you always can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm never not going to help a vet. So, you know, just want to put that out there too.
Well, we appreciate the time and the words of wisdom that you've given to our listeners today, Abby.
Thank you so much, Jim, for having me.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans. And you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.